Okay, the next committee report is actually a working group. The Addressing Predatory Behavior Working Group report. Will someone please remind those folks out there that we're getting started? Thank you. Okay, looks like this is who we have to work with. So, as for those who just came in the room, we're about to start the report for the Addressing Predatory Behavior Working Group. You need your co-host there. Okay. Here she comes. Okay, I ask that as you come in, please respect that we're starting up the presentation. Start whenever you're ready.
Hello. I'm Josh, and I'm an adult child.
Josh.
Aaron, I'm an adult child.
Hi, Aaron.
And we are here to give a report on the Addressing Predatory Behavior Working Group. Our chair, Karen, could not be here today. Aaron is the co-chair or vice chair, and I am the secretary.
You started off as the chair.
That's true. I admit it. So there's a report in here, and I'm not going to read right through it. Feel free to ask any questions about this when we get to questions. But I just want to break this down a little bit, because what's I see is not in here that is really important context, and I'm just talking with Greg about this, is the history of this and how this all got started. So probably about 2 years ago, in my home group, I had some program friends who independently sort of mentioned to me that there was a particular individual in our meeting who they felt very uncomfortable with his behavior. And I kind of connected the dots, and I was like, wait, they're talking about the same person, aren't they? And I confirmed that, and I kind of was like, I think we should take this to intergroup, like, because this is not just affecting our group. They're talking about this individual is going around to different groups in our area, and different people are mentioning this, and maybe this is a bigger problem than we realize. And so we brought it to our intergroup, and our intergroup decided to, this was in the Washington, D.C. area, decided to form a subcommittee to look into this, to decide what to do that was within the traditions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, my personal sense is, like, we can't just sleep on this. You know, we know this is out there, and we have to give people a sense of, like, what they can do in these kinds of situations. So our inner group went through some things, and one thing that happened is actually, it's now out there, it's not a secret. Our chair wrote a letter, which she called her Me Too ACA letter, which I'm not going to read the whole thing of. I presented it last year at the ABC, but I think there's a piece of it that I want to read, which I think is really important here. So she named this individual as X to keep anonymity. So I'm just going to read from this letter here. Our intergroup has moved forward to address X's behavior directly on the intergroup level. Our next goal is to make recommendations to local meetings on how to prevent predatory behavior at meetings and protect particularly newcomers from being targeted by it. This appears difficult. One meeting, when the suggestion was made to include a paragraph on 13 stepping in the opening, failed to see the relevance of this because the issue is so rarely openly discussed. As our subcommittee learned when investigating this issue, it is often discussed among what might be called informal networks of supportive members who may even be sworn to secrecy and who look out for one another and other potential victims, much the way I did years ago. This amounts to silent collusion with the perpetrator's behavior. It perpetuates the illusion that the issue is one of personal boundaries, the victim's boundaries. The recent Me Too movement has helped me understand how much this perpetuates a view that we have been socially and culturally conditioned to accept without questioning, a view that silently condones violence against women, in this case, and places the responsibility for preventing it squarely on our own shoulders. By the same token, we as women are held and are holding ourselves accountable for maintaining our own safety in meetings, not even expecting to be supported by bystanders and onlookers to our experience. So I'm skipping ahead a little bit. We need to talk about this. While there are already helpful resources out there, we need to make them widely available to local meetings. We also need to help these meetings understand how important it is to make this information easily available to newcomers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this, our inner group was dealing with this. We reached out to Greg and his intergroup because we had heard through WSO that they had dealt with similar issues. And we basically started saying, wait a second, maybe this isn't just us. And so at the last ABC, Mary Jo did a presentation, or I should say at the AWC, on meeting safety. And at the end of that, we kind of popped up and said, there's this sort of offshoot of meeting safety that's this addressing predatory behavior thing. Anyone who wants to come talk about that, please gather in room whatever. And probably 20 or 30 people showed up. And basically what I did is I passed out Karen's letter and I said, we think this might be an issue for other people. Is this an issue for you? And a bunch of people were like, yes. So that was our confirmation. This is definitely bigger than just something we are experiencing at our very local level. So out of that came the generation of this working group to then see how we might want to tackle this for the broader fellowship. So that's the history part. I know that was a lot, but that's the context. So all this report is basically what has happened since then and what do we plan to do next. So I just want to read the mission and purpose, and maybe I'll give it to Aaron to read the mission and purpose.
Okay, mission, as approved in June 2018. One, to provide education and resources. There was some handwriting. To provide education and resources for members, groups, intergroups, and newcomers to address predatory behavior within the ACA Fellowship. And number two, create safe spaces for open discussion about predatory behavior in the fellowship.
So one thing that Karen was really big on, and I'm sorry she's not here to say this herself, that I think is a really important insight in all this, when she referenced the informal networks, that one of the biggest ways to start addressing this is to just bring it out of the shadows by talking about it openly. in-group consciences, et cetera. So that's part of the safe spaces and provide education and resources. So all that said, if you look on the providing resources on page 83, this is basically what we've done since last year so far. So we have a repository page, which is up here. We did a special edition of the comm line specifically on addressing predatory behavior, which is also linked up here. So, yeah. So it says right there, special comm line edition for APB. And we were very pleased to be able to work with literature on doing that. That was a sort of joint effort, so that was awesome. Thank you, Charlie, et cetera. We also have my intergroup created an intergroup document that was basically saying to all our local meetings, here's what you can do to deal with this behavior. Here's our, like, very concrete action steps on how to handle that. So we posted that up there, too. We also started gathering safety statements that different groups had created for their own group. And we just sort of collated them all together and threw them together. So anyone who wanted to create a safety statement could just view what other groups had done and been like, well, I like that, I like that, I don't like that, you know, and sort of mix and match it and make their own. And a big thing is that one of our next steps is we kind of said, okay, we've got these group level safety statements, but wouldn't it be cool if we could come up with a sort of WSO approved single safety statement? That's not like, you know, legislated and your group doesn't have to use it, but here's something that's been reviewed and vetted, and your group can take it and adopt or adapt it as you see fit. So today, we actually, and are looking ahead, you'll see the first one. It says, submitting an ACA commitment to meeting safety tent card to WSO for review and approval. This draft is expected to be completed by the end of March 2019 and posted on the APP repository once completed. So we did that, and we are submitting this here today, which Charlie will be talking about during the literature portion, because technically that's under the auspices of literature, this ACA level group safety statement, which we are submitting to you, where you can say, yes, this is good enough to like go ahead or not. We can comment on that. But that's a way to get that whole process started under the literature mechanisms that exist today. Charlie, please correct me if I'm wrong on any of that. Aaron, please add anything you would like.
Did you want to say something, Charlie, before I do? Okay. So I would say two things here. And one is, you might think this isn't happening in my group, but I would ask you to put it out to your group to find out if it's happening. Because whether it's happening in different contexts, whether it's happening to women who aren't talking about it because they feel, as culturally, at least in our country, and with the things that I've gone through in my life, well, it must be my fault that person's doing it. I just need to learn to say no, and I don't want to tell anyone because then I'm going to be embarrassed or they're going to not believe me, okay? So just the fact that we take it to a business meeting and we just talk about it, or we go back to our meetings and when they ask for announcements, we say, hey, there's stuff out there about addressing predatory behavior. At some point, let's take the temperature of this group and make sure everybody's feeling safe. Just the fact that you're bringing it up and discussing it can do so much, okay? And the other thing is that what we take on here, and we're going to be doing a workshop about this with some great fun skits that we've come up with tomorrow in the AWC, if you'd like to do that. And we need volunteers for the skits, too. But we're not just talking about romantic or sexual behavior. We're also talking about financial predation in the meetings. You know, people selling their services and putting pressure. Newcomers come in. They may not know the expectation. They may not understand that that's not okay. And also, we find within the meetings, you've probably seen it. We're going to do a skit on this tomorrow, too. People have been in the program longer, using sponsorship to almost throw themselves at newcomer after newcomer after newcomer like they're collecting them. okay? And a newcomer not knowing, oh, is this what I'm supposed to do? Or am I not supposed to do this? Or I don't really feel good about this, but I don't know how to say no yet, and I'm just going to leave. Because that is what we found happened when we sent out emails and we asked for information, what's the experience out there? And we were finding people who found out about this, and they were writing and they're saying, and I left. I left ACA because I didn't know what to do with it, and nobody was doing anything about it. So,
yeah, and I'll just, another theme that popped out as very important in all this was that, you know, traditionally we think about this thing and there's sort of like, you can choose different words to use it, but a sort of like perpetrator and a target. And basically one of the things that really came up in discussion around this, wait, what about all the bystanders who are maybe seeing this happening, who might interject somehow, and how do we look at the role for other people who are not directly involved in this or think they're not directly involved in this? So, questions?
Any questions, comments? Sue. Mike?
Yeah, BB.
Try it now.
Hi, Sue V, CAN332. Thank you so much for your work and the presentation. It's excellent. Question I have, we have this as well, and we've been dealing it in various forms. The question I have is, when we have the laundry list, we know we're victimed, right? And we also know on the other laundry list, we are the victimizer. So I've been approaching that with certain people in our fellowship, and recently have had some good success. I'm wondering, do you deal with that as well?
Yeah, we have the Comline Special Edition, if you haven't seen that yet, and we had a submission from someone who talked about being the predator. And so we look at the other side of the laundry list happening there and having compassion, but at the same time, we got to set boundaries. And we have to have solutions that if that person isn't willing to look at their behavior, what do we need to do?
Yeah, exactly. Because I know in our situation, the last one, he acknowledged and he actually went back to the group and apologized and made an amends. And the group is feeling safer. He's feeling, and he's even given them permission to let him know if he's verging and he doesn't recognize it. So that was huge. And then I've had two others where they couldn't handle it, and we all did it with a group type thing, and they walked away. And that was the right thing to do. So the comm line, we did see it. And in our group, we decided to read it as part of our readings. And it was excellent. People got to share about their feelings about stuff. So thank you.
Thanks, Sue. Sharon? Then Jean.
Thank you. Question from Christopher, New York 0203. Will the tent card be going on three sides, or rather, would it be three sides with a base side so that it looks like a triangle from a side view so it doesn't fall flat?
Great suggestion. Thank you.
Okay. Jeannie and then Mybert.
This is Mybert here. Denmark 014. Just want to acknowledge the courage that it takes to create a group like this and actually to talk about stuff that is going on behind the scenes, and being aware that even though that we were victimized as children, we should not accept that people say, this is just being me, you know, because they feel entitled to just be who they are. It is a journey, you know, to get to the point where you actually be accountable for your own behavior. And I think that's addressing this will flush it out in the light. And so I just want to thank the working group for your efforts. Thank you.
Thanks, Margaret.
Jeannie. Thank you, Karen, if you're listening. We're asked to take maybe just the two that have their hands up because for the sake of time, but to stress that, first of all, Josh and I are here to answer questions, but also look on your AWC booklet, because we will have a workshop tomorrow. There'll be an hour and a half, and it'll be really informative there, too, more so.
Thank you so much for this committee, and I'll be on the conference calls because this is very personal to me, because I come back from World Service, and then I apparently take a little time making announcements after meetings, and I just wanted on record that I had an experience where someone came up to me, and this is relevant regarding what Mary Jo, what I learned from her workshop was the importance of crosstalk applying to before and after the meeting, because someone came up to me and just screamed at my face that ACA doesn't need to change, and a lot more harshness after that. So I just want the committee to be really aware of not just the newcomer aspect of this, and also incorporating the fact that people should be safe before and after meetings, too, that people just don't get to go up to people and say anything that they want to say. I hope I expressed that well enough. Thank you so much for this committee, because I actually don't feel safe at this particular meeting anymore. Like, I tremble before, and they gave me gave me $300 to come, so I'm going to keep going back, but thank you so much.
Sure.
Helen, remote delegate, California 1385.
Wow.
This is such a positive step for ACA. My home group discussed this at fellowship before our meeting today. I said I would get back with all the news and info discussed today.
Thank you.
Great. Awesome. Thank you very much.
I just want to put in a word. Thank you. Thank you for this. I want to also point out, this is kind of grassroots, and this is the kind of thing that grows out of service at grassroots, because over 2 years ago, I took a trip to Toronto and sat down with folks in Toronto, Sue and a bunch of others, to talk about the same issue and how were they dealing with it. And we shared ideas, and then right about that time, Josh called me up. And so it grows out of this. So anything that you do in this program, can have really long tentacles. So. Okay, so that brings us to the end of the committee reports in this context. But I wanted, because we've split it out a little bit separately for literature. So Charlie's going to come up and do the first part of the literature. We're going to split the literature report that you see on your schedule that's for 1:15. We're going to do 30 minutes now, and then we'll do 30 minutes after lunch.
Hi, my name is Charlie. I am an adult child. I'm from Northern Virginia near Washington, D.C., and I am chair of the Literature Committee. Hi, everybody. Now, it was put to me by Frederick yesterday that Bill set a high bar by actually incorporating Swedish into his presentation yesterday. I'm still overcoming a bit of insecurity because every time I try to speak in Danish to Maibritt, she laughs her butt off. And so, but I will come back with a later presentation today and introduce myself in Swedish, and hopefully we will all survive. Just to give you a sense of how we're doing this today, we're actually going to break the literature presentation into two parts. The first part is sort of our committee report talking about new projects. And then afterwards, after lunch hour, we're going to return to the discussion we just had from the Addressing Predatory Behavior Working Group, because they want to find a way to get the safety card out to the fellowship. And we're going to do a different way of discussing that proposal as part of the literature discussion before we throw it to the Roberts Rules process we had yesterday. Hopefully we'll be able to have some kind of broader, big picture discussion before we start getting into the maneuvering. So, so as a starting point, just one thing about the literature committee, we are highly, highly volunteer driven. And I would, if I could take a moment, I'd like to introduce some of our members. David McBee is our vice chair. Mybrit, who is not here, is has been an integral part. She's head of our translation subcommittee. She sort of wears two hats between that and the European committee. We have a special worker who has been invaluable in the last year to helping us with translations, Alexia from Germany, who is here. I would like to also ask, I'm not sure how many people stand, how many people in this room, if you have ever taken part on part of like a literature development team, could I ask you to stand for just a moment? Somebody has. Okay, here we go. Yeah, Aaron, hop up. Yeah, Mary Jo, you have. And so, so you know, so we, quite a lot. And we operate very much by group conscience. As we saw yesterday, you know, and it was challenging at times, even trying to change one paragraph with 70 people in a room might take you a week. You know, we are trying talking about writing entire books by groups of people. And so we strive all the time to create space for people to come to common values. What are we trying to do with this project? Who's writing each chapter? And then eventually a long process of going through the fellowship. But I would say it's very, very gratifying to be a part of the development process. And we also have a quarterly call, the first Saturday of every quarter. So the next one will be the first Saturday in July. I think it's the 6th or the 7th. For those of you here in Europe, I'm happy to say it is scheduled at 11:30 Eastern time. So it actually is not great, but it's not brutal. I think it's 5:30. You know, here in Scandinavia. We also are in charge of translations, which I'll begin sort of talking about our projects. And obviously, one of the amazing things is when we see 20-plus flags up here, I'm assuming we have at least 15 or 20 languages represented in this room. It was mentioned yesterday, you know, by Mybrit that if you are trying to speak to your inner child, it makes a world of difference if you are reading in English or if you're reading in your own language, the language your child actually heard when you were growing up. So anybody, if I may ask again, show of hands, how many of you come from countries that have a published ACA book in your own language? Okay. It's great, and that's progress, believe me. How many of you come from countries, non-English countries, where you don't have a book in your language? So still a lot of room for forward movement. And we'll talk a little bit about that process right now. So if I could ask, in terms of the pages we're working off of here, I'll be referring a little bit to pages 45 and 46. But where I would like to begin is talking about translation. So Jim, if I could ask you to move forward to page 92. The section on translations and new projects is 92 to 103. It's under a section called New Literature and Special Reports. Obviously, I'm not going to read all of that, but this is these are the areas you would go to if you want more detail of what we've been talking about. If we could, as soon as we get to the page, I would we wanted to show some of our translations. Jim, is that something you can get to? I'm going to do one thing. I think it's 93. It's the actual one you have to take the cover. Yeah. Okay, so okay, while we're waiting for that, there's nothing like a show and tell where you have nothing to show. So I actually asked for permission to borrow the new Swedish yellow workbook. This is actually one of three or four new yellow workbooks we've done in the last couple of months. Last month, there was the first ever national convention in Germany. They were able to hold up the first German yellow workbook. So again, two new countries. We may not get to, oh, here we go. Probably a couple of pages down, what you'll find will be, yes, here we go. Sweden just came online literally this week. The books arrived. Secondly, I think Germany is next. Yeah, that's the back page of the Zivilschütte. And then I always make people laugh when I try their languages. Russia, fascinating relationship, but the Russians have now published their Big Red Book and their Yellow Workbook. I actually was talking with somebody from Greece just outside the hallway recently. We have designed the Greek Yellow Workbook, and we're just going through the final processes of how to deliver to them. And then I think those are some new ones. We've done a Finnish Yellow Workbook in the last year. We've really, what happened was this. Mybrit, in maybe 5 years ago, really began talking to countries individually. And I think anybody who's gone through, how many people here have been involved in translating ACA literature? These are heroes, heroes of our movement. Anybody who has done this, we've actually had translation groups break down before they could complete their work. You really need to learn the traditions, learn, you know, to survive the process. But when it happens, the experience has been, Denmark was the first. They published a Big Red Book in 2013. And Finland was even before. But the experience of these countries has been, once the literature is printed, the fellowship just grows. It moves forward, it never looks back. And so the impact of this service is just incalculable. It's immense. We also have worked through in recent years how to improve our delivery. We used to print, you would work over here to translate a book. We would print it and deliver it from Southern California by ship. 2 months later, it would arrive. That would have been hard for us to get the yellow book here to this world convention if it was coming somewhere over the Atlantic Ocean right now. So Jeffrey F., who is another member of our committee, does international publishing transactions. He found a printer in Estonia. So we were actually able to get this in a matter of days and at much lower cost to the fellowship. So there's been a lot of attention to how do we do this well. And then the other big development, again, with the help of Mybrit and Alexia, we're creating guidelines so that we don't just say, oh, you want to translate a new book? Here you go, good luck. You know, again, there's a lot of practical issues and where do you start types of issues. And we are committed in this coming year to really putting materials out so that new translation committees will have a much higher level of support. Mybrit, also with the European Committee, every other month now has a call just for translators. So this has become a big area of emphasis and mutual support. I'm going to move on back to new literature proposals. Actually, I think you may be exactly right in the right place here, Jim. I'm going to ask you to go back one page. I may be wrong or confused, disoriented. It happens. Okay, there we are. Okay, good. I want to talk about several new projects coming online. And the one I would really call your attention to is not this one, which is not quite ready yet, but we introduced a new trifold this last year called Finding Emotional Sobriety. It's the first of several versions of it to follow, but it's directed to members of Alcoholics Anonymous who also happen to be adult children. And there's a lot of reasons for this, but one is I'm also in AA. I can tell you when I sit in AA meetings, it becomes very obvious, at least 80%. And every time I say 80, people say, no, 90, 95, 100. It's obvious that the vast majority of people in AA grew up in dysfunctional families, oftentimes with very shattering kinds of backgrounds. And yet, they don't really know that's a part of their situation they need to look at. And it's not uncommon for people to be in AA for a long time and actually risk going out because there's a sense of, is this all there is? I'm better, I'm not drinking, but I'm not really happy. And so finding emotional sobriety is available. Somebody says we passed it. It's available on our free download pages. It's only your typical trifold. So one thing, with the countries where you're doing translating, I would strongly encourage you to look at this trifold. We will be doing a similar ones for NA and other 12-step fellowships. But the idea is, I'm going to go dizzy if I look at that. But basically the idea is there are people in an urgent need on the one hand, but also are familiar with the 12-step programs on the other. In other words, from our perspective, ideal people we would like to know about our program. In the United States history, a key finding emotional sobriety. Right now, English and Spanish, which means there's a whole lot of other countries that might consider this. In the United States history of ACA, the very first ACA group struggled, and then one of the founders went out to talk to his friends in AA about it, and within months they were up to 70-odd, you know, people attending the meeting. So we all have had a history from day one of when we go out to other fellowships and let them know, here we are, here's what we do. The hunger, the need, and the demand have been very large on the one hand, but it's also been a way for us as a fellowship to grow. Because again, these are adult children. They just haven't really been taught to think about it that way. The other two, that trifold, very easily translated, we believe. And it's been written, you can see actually there's a quote from Bill W., the co-founder of AA. It's written in a way to speak about the program in terms that AA members would be comfortable with and familiar with. And we also, as part of our development of this, field tested it and focus grouped it with members of AA who were adult children. And it seemed to be very successful. And we've gotten positive feedback since it's been introduced. Other new projects, there's two I want to mention side by side. One is called Ready, Set, Go, which is probably within months of being put out. And then another new project called Getting Started is our working title. But they both have something in common, which is if somebody is a newcomer and coming into the fellowship, how can we help them understand the program quickly? Ready, Set, Go is something that's been done for 5-6 years. If you're curious about it, there's a few people around the building. I don't know if Dave S. is in the room. Dave S. is here. He's been a Ready, Set, Go instructor. It's really a workshop and 5-6 week telephone meeting way of walking you through the 12 steps and an introduction to inner child work. It's different from a normal meeting in that it's interactive. You have a facilitator. You have an opportunity to ask questions. You have an opportunity to share face-to-face. It's not the no-crosstalk model that we all think of in a meeting, and it's structured around written work. The other one, so that will be coming out this year. Likewise, we expect to complete this year something that's referenced in this book. We originally called it the Little Big Red Book, knowing that was not going to be its final title. We believe now Getting Started, an Introduction to ACA Recovery, or something like that will be our working title. The goal of this one is to have a much smaller introductory text. It's going to be a couple hundred pages or less. It's going to focus on what people really need to know in their first year to 18 months of ACA recovery. I think one feedback we've gotten about the Big Red Book, it's incredibly thorough, but sometimes when you're new in ACA, it's hard to know where to go and where to start. And so also, intentionally, the language will be simpler. It's designed to be more translation-friendly. It's designed to be more newcomer-friendly, you know, to be honest. And so that is a new project we're working on. I expect now we will be completing it this year and bring it back to the we will figure out. We want to get that one out quickly. It's a high priority to us. And then other new things that have happened in the last year, again, in these same pages. One is we did a we are working on an ACA Bill of Rights. There's a number of Bill of Rights documents floating around there, again, because adult children tend to think of themselves as less than, not having as many rights as other people. It's we have a team of people sort of working that one through. I expect we'll have a, again, that will come to fruition probably in the next 6 months, as far as a proposal at least. And then lastly, 2017 in San Diego, there was a motion passing, please take another look at your sponsorship literature, your fellow traveler literature. Many people seem to find it confusing. And so for about the last 6 or 8 months, we've had a working group looking about all aspects of sponsorship. And several of people have been on those calls. It's actually also looking at how has our experience about sponsorship changed over the last 40 years. It's very clear that there's a lot of challenges. Many people find it hard to get sponsors. Many people are scared to be sponsors. There's a page report in this new, if you look through this section, pages 92 to 103, you can get a link to a progress report from that group. But it's again, something which I think we expect will lead to some rewriting of our literature. So then the only other thing I want to talk about very briefly is our development process. Again, I think you guys got a good firsthand demonstration yesterday. Sometimes it's a hard process. We have many, many people who want to weigh in. We want to open it to the fellowship, but it's hard to have, beyond a certain number of people, it gets hard to edit, tinker, and yet people have every right and need to. So we have a development policy on the literature side. I suspect it's going to go through some additional revision this year, because we're always trying to balance these two issues of fellowship input and just simply getting the project done and moving forward. But the other thing you all need to know is if anybody in this room, and actually we had a conversation, a delegate and I yesterday, who asked about can we really start looking at our literature and are there ways to make it more accessible to people who really don't believe in a higher, in a deity, in a religious entity. It's something we've already been talking about, so it's a process we can move forward with. But basically, if anybody has an idea, a project you want to do, you actually, it's as simple, you don't have to start here at the ABC. You can actually just send an email to literature@acawso.org, and we have an evaluation process that will put that in the pipeline. We are committing this year to improving our transparency around that so that people know where their projects stand once they've submitted it. And I think those really are our priorities. There's certainly additional information in the two sections I gave, pages 45 and 46 and 92 to 103. But right now, again, we'll be coming back with the addressing predatory behavior proposal after lunch, but right now I'd be happy to answer any questions you have about what I've talked about today. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, very good. David asked a question, which I'll actually expand on. He has reminded me of something I forgot to mention. He asked, why do we emphasize with new countries coming online a certain order of what to public print, what to translate first? And when it gets to the book stage, in working with Germany, we encourage them start with the yellow workbook, not the big red book. We'd actually go further. Any new country we would emphasize, start with the pamphlets first. The idea is if you start small, your translation team might actually get something done, before, it starts running into frustration and fatigue. I'm going to let Myron speak to this in a second. Secondly, it gets something out. I think the universal experience has been once people see some literature, they start moving forward. And then lastly, another reason I think the Yellow Workbook is a great first book project, it's actually very, very similar to Chapter 7 of the Big Red Book. So once you publish it, You've gotten it out faster. It's an interactive book that, you know, the fellowship can start working with right away. But if you do go on to do the Big Red Book, actually you can take much of the work you've done on the Yellow Workbook and just plug it into the next project. Margaret, would you like to add to any of that?
Yeah, in the beginning when we got our Big Red Book, the Big Red Book was only the book that we sent out, and we saw over and over again the attempts from fellowships to try to translate this. And we all know that the solution is on page 500. So most of those teams broke their necks trying to kill one another over all the drama and trauma that they were reading about, because they identified with that, right? So translating the Yellow Workbook, they actually are sitting with the solution. And they're capable of starting workshops and getting better right away. And this is also where the idea of creating a smaller condensed version targeted to newcomers came from. Because imagine this. I just want you to pay attention to one thing. Imagine this in the room, all the Americans here. What if the fellowship had started in Greece? And you had to translate from Greece to English in order to get connected with your inner child. That's what we're doing here in Europe and everywhere else. So, thank you.
Thanks, Margaret. Before I recognize the next speaker, Duff, I also want to say we've learned so much about the challenges of translating. We have something in our language called the laundry list. As an interesting point of fact, no American has used a laundry list for at least 70 years, but somehow it has stayed in the language and we know what it is. It's like a big, thorough list. Virtually every country we've worked with puzzles for a long time going, what is a laundry list? And then actually for a time in Greece, this is a true story, they became convinced for a while there was somebody whose last name was Laundry. And they wrote it for a while as the list of laundry. So, you know, it's not easy doing this. And so the more we can work together, countries that have already translated, working with countries that are starting to translate, we really feel this will help everybody get their countries moving. So I'm sorry, Duff, if you'd like to speak.
Thanks, Charlie. Duff, Utah 029. I may have already missed this, but can you quickly go over this new literature and tell us what the projected time frame is in having it completed?
Yes. Basically, I'm going to walk through the various things. The sponsorship and fellow traveler model is not leading to a specific project as of yet. We're working on it. The other projects... Finding Emotional Sobriety is already online, just waiting for translation. Ready, Set, Go, we're simply going through a technical publishing issue of rectifying two different ways of delivering the program in one book. I think that'll be ready within 6 months, certainly before the next ABC. My belief is we're about halfway through the drafting of the Getting Started book. I expect we'll complete the drafting by within 6 months, late 2019, and be ready to show a published design version by the next ABC. And which one am I forgetting? Oh, and the ACA Bill of Rights is simply going to be some kind of one-pager type of thing, and that would certainly be ready in 2019. I don't anticipate more than two more months of designing that. If I've missed one, feel free to ask. I'm going to start with somebody perhaps with a remote. Sharon?
Thank you. I have three delegates in the queue here.
Okay, if you could go ahead.
Okay. Number one, Tony from Illinois 193. Ready, Set, Go has two upcoming sessions starting in May. To experience Ready, Set, Go, there's the telephone and face-to-face happening in May. And so upcoming sessions after that will be posted. She wanted that to be mentioned.
Could I pause you 1 second? Tony, and again, this idea that projects can come from anywhere. Tony lives in Illinois. She and other members actually created Ready, Set, Go, and started doing local four-week programs originally, and since I think expanded to 6 weeks. They created this. We did not. You know, it's this idea, again, that was mentioned earlier today, that sometimes it's not us and they, it's us and us. In fact, a lot of things come to us from the fellowship. Our evaluation teams are all volunteer-driven. And then another person here, Dave S., and Matt from Wisconsin, then pioneered the idea of a one-day workshop, which has been highly, highly effective. Obviously, you're not going to teach everybody all about ACA in one day, but you can really jumpstart people where they feel like they have an understanding and a shot of morale that has been very effective. Again, all of this was from the fellowship, but Tony, who's did that last question, is the author of Ready, Set, Go.
Okay, next comment is from Lewis, Florida 0302. You didn't mention the Loving Parent Guide.
Oh, my God, and I will not be forgiven if I go home without this. This is the danger of talking with a screen to your back. The Loving Parent Guide, again, talking about the process, this was actually a big success of the ACA ballot process. Bonnie M. from Boston submitted a proposal at the 2017 ABC in San Diego, saying we really need more instruction about reparenting. It's just as big as the Red Book is, it just doesn't really cover it except for one chapter. And so they wanted an interactive workbook on reparenting and inner child work, which I thought was a wonderful idea. It was very fortunate, it turned out Bonnie M. was also a very skilled professional facilitator, so she is running that development team. And Lewis from Florida is part of that development team. So that one I'm gonna say is about 6 months behind, not far behind the getting started, you know, newcomers text. I would guess that will be ready for a proposal in 2020 at the 2020 ABC and published sometime in later 2020. And it is a book I'm extremely excited about.
Thank you. From Christopher, New York 0203, and this kind of piggybacks on something that you've said, but I'm going to go ahead and read the question. If I want to see a pamphlet come out about the inner teen and am willing to get started on writing it, is that helpful to the literature committee, or only do internal committee members get to do writing?
As we say, like in advertising in the U.S., why, I'm glad you asked that question, Sharon. That's a great example. And I know it's from Christopher in New York. It really says a lot about the process. And in our development policy, which is on, if you look down the literature committee, it's a little hard to find. We will make it more visible. That's one of my top to-dos when I get home. But we have a development policy that tells you how to do this. We actually say for very brief things like a trifold, feel free to write it up and send it in, you know, because it then allows us one stop. We get to see the idea. We get to see the initial execution. With bigger books, if somebody wanted to propose a book, we strongly suggest give us an outline, at most the first couple of chapters, and the reason why you think this is, and with all literature projects, the reason why you think this will add to what we have. We do not have small literature directed to young adults and teens. So without question, that would fill a gap. So please tell Christopher, let me ask one question. Laura, you are here as the liaison of the young adults. Would this cause you heartburn if a proposed trifold came flying in from a volunteer?
That would be wonderful.
Okay.
That would be great.
So please tell Christopher, don't listen to the rest of the ABC, just start writing. And the one other thing I want to alert everybody to, because we're going to see it again after lunch, and we saw it yesterday. The thing which is hard sometimes for writers is you get very personally attached. It's almost like giving birth to something. And then you send it to WSO, and we have an evaluation team, and we have a lot of criteria we need to look at it. You know, does it? Is it truly new? Is it truly achieving the goal? That will take time. It can be slow. That can be frustrating. When we like it, there's other filters it goes through, but eventually it comes here to the ABC. And we've found it's been very difficult in practice to get a room full of people to comfortably say, why, yes, I've read that new book, beginning to end, and I feel, I love every word. Yeah, I mean, we all know even two paragraphs didn't pass the love every word test, you know? And so, so you have to sort of be patient. And if you are the author, you also have to accept at some point very quickly, you will have to embrace the joys of anonymous service because you won't be the full owner of this project. It becomes, you give it to us as a gift, it becomes a fellowship process. And ultimately, even these two books that we've referenced, the Loving Parent Guidebook and the Getting Started book, they're being written by teams of 12 people. And we all spend time. The idea is you want a book that's not just one person's opinion, but something that reflects broad experience. And so there is a sacrifice people make when they write these projects. Sooner or later, you have to let go and let God let the process play out. But tell him to start writing. Yes, Dave.
Yeah, Dave S., Wisconsin 112. I just want a little blurb about Ready, Set, Go. And Tony and her group in LaGrange did this phenomenal job of finding and extracting the step-taking language out of the BRB. Everything in there is taken out of our literature. And I think you made a little misstatement. We don't support crosstalk in the workshops that I facilitate in. We try to keep meetings safe. But and I'm a proponent that as a result of Bill Dalton laying down a gauntlet a while ago. Could you do it in a day? Because I started doing it in the 4-week version, and I thought about it. I was like, yeah, you know, it'd be a long day. So we do the process, an introduction to the language of taking the steps in ACA, over the course of a 7.5-hour workshop, and so and then at the end of that we do a non-dominant handwriting exercise, where you get to maybe begin a dialogue between your loving parent and inner child. There's a number of people in the room that have participated in it, and I've kind of taken it cross-country. I've either facilitated or participated in it about 20 times, so I'm somewhat well-versed if you have any questions about it. And it will be, you know, it can be done, you know, for me, the only wrong way of doing the steps is to not do them, you know, or to try to do them alone, you know. And that's about it, you know. And for me, the magic, we break out in small groups after maybe every 2 or 3 steps and discuss our process. And that's really where the magic occurs for me, the aha moments. So it's a great introduction for newbies, and it's a good watermark test for people that have been in the program for a while.
Thank you very much, Dave. Duff? Oh, by the way, before you ask your question, I'm also mindful of it being a long day. I think we're maybe 4 more minutes, so we're down to the last couple of questions. Go ahead, Duff.
Okay, hopefully this is quick. Utah 029, how does a local group bring the Ready, Set, Go to them? Or is it online?
There is an online version, I believe, with the Greater Western things. When we get our version finished, we will begin publishing it, and then it'll be directly accessible from the WSO website. It's still in perhaps the last 3 to 6 months of design and development. So, but I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mary Jo or Dave, I think Tony still has an accessible version online of the program. I'm sorry, and Sue?
Can Sue V 322. We piloted the 1-day Ready, Set, Go in Toronto in November, and the feedback was enormous. We had 70 people in the room. David facilitated that session, and it went well. The newcomers said they weren't so afraid to take the yellow book now. The experienced people in the room said that their recovery was reignited. So that was really interesting feedback. We have an online version.
Fabulous.
You know that. Adelina is actually putting together a facilitator's guide. We're piloting that right now, and we're doing it 3 times in the next little while.
If I may ask, Sue, because again, obviously, we'll eventually wind up with one fully approved version of this.
Absolutely.
But if you can tell people what your URL is, so people can at least find the right site to get the your version of this.
We haven't got it. We have an online version, but it's not posted out of respect.
Yeah,
so if you're okay with it, then they can email global members.
Okay, that would be great.
At gmail.com. That's my new WSO email, so that would probably get to me, and I can help people with that.
Okay, and Dave is going to help with this, and then I think maybe one
global members@gmail.com.
I'm Dave S., and I'm a fan of what they did in Toronto. It's a very clean, condensed version. There isn't a lot of extraneous stuff in it, and it's pretty well evolved.
One last question,
Charlie.
Not?
I this is Greg from Texas 158, and I have a statement that, yes, the greater, whatever it is, Western has a version online, but when I asked Matt for the facilitator guide that goes with it, he refused to give it to me because of the Ready, Set, Go being in process here. So that's
the key thing is we actually, I think, we already have a call scheduled for when I get back. This is the single top priority for completion. It's the one that's closest to completion, and we will, I suspect, we'll be ready to move forward to getting a version out within the next 3 to 4 months. So I think with that, let me just do one last thing to explain where we're going after lunch. The second part we're gonna dedicate to prepare, to having a pre-discussion, if you will, of this addressing predatory behavior. We will be introducing either of two alternative motions as to how to proceed with the addressing predatory behavior safety card. But I'd like to sort of guide us through a few broad question discussions so we can sort of figure out where we are as a room before we sort of dive into the details, which will be handled by a formal session as following up. Carol.
The Greater Western email.
I'm sorry, I'm wrong. Yeah. This is Great West Lakes.
Thank you.
Yeah, West Great Lakes, sorry. West Great Lakes Intergroup, which is in the Chicago area. Yes.
Oh, we have the Intergroup's website up on the screen, is what I was pointing to.
Very good.
With a flyer for Ready, Set, Go with upcoming dates. And I'm sure the material may be up there as well.
Yes, so, and also another important thing here is they have both face-to-face meetings, but also Tony runs telephone meetings. So actually, again, pending the time, it's possible you can be quite geographically removed from the U.S. Midwest and be able to actually take part in one of these programs. So with that, that concludes the first part of our literature report, and bon appetit. Enjoy lunch.
Thank you. Thank you, Charlie. For those that paid for lunch, lunch is going to be in the same location it was yesterday. You go down the hall to the left, go to the end of the hall, turn left, go up the stairs. It plunks you right out into the restaurant. I have a request that you plan your time so that, like, a minute or two before we're supposed to start at 1:15, you're actually in your chair, all right? So that we're not taking time away from the presenters. Hold it, we haven't released yet. The other thing is, Jody, you got a mic?
Thank you. Just as a reminder, everyone has an opportunity to experience the joys of volunteerism and see our new literature in the room on the way to food. Thank you.
One more, hold it.
We're getting we want a list of participants here with their name and serial number.
So are you passing that around during the afternoon session? What are you doing? Okay. All right, when we get back from lunch, there'll be a notebook going around asking for your name, your group number. Please fill it out and can have it go from one side of you to the other so that it doesn't stop. Thanks. Okay, go. Ready, set, go.